Plans are now in place for a shakeup of the White House's national security team. CIA Director Leon Panetta heads to the Pentagon to replace Robert Gates. And replacing Panetta at the spy agency is General David Petraeus, now the high-profile commander of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. And those aren't the only changes. Anthony Cordesman is the Arleigh C. Burke Chair in Strategy at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He joins us now with more analysis of the president's picks and what's to come. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. A pleasure.
So the first question is, we've been calling this a shakeup, which sounds like a change in policy or a change in the way that the government wants to approach what it's been doing. But it sounds more like transition to more of the same. So what is it?
Well, I think we need to be very careful, because when you talk about a shakeup, it's easy to try to guess that there's some internal policy dynamic. In fact, General Petraeus is presenting his recommendations for force cuts in Afghanistan and doing it either today or did it already yesterday. So he's moving to CIA, having already established one of the most key points in continuity in that war. And when you see a new Secretary of Defense, Panetta, show up, he's going to be showing up in an environment where, rather than having the administration driving all of the policy, you have a massive debate over the future of the federal budget. You do have growing opposition on both the left and the right to the Afghan war. And you have a whole host of major program decisions you have to make in the Defense Department that Secretary Gates did not make in the course of the last fiscal year. So this isn't so much a shake-up in terms of people as putting new people into extremely demanding and uncertain environments.
So is that then why the people that he chose are in those positions now? Because is the philosophy and the work then and the history that they bring with them?
Well, I think there is certainly two extraordinarily qualified people. No one can ever judge how people do in these jobs until basically they leave them, and sometimes it takes years afterwards to know exactly how well they can do. But certainly you need someone in the intelligence community who has credibility, who can, to some extent, separate himself from a partisan position. General Petraeus is not seen as just a military officer. He has a doctorate in international relations. He's worked with the intelligence community perhaps as closely as any senior military officer has. And he certainly has demonstrated the ability to manage. Panetta can't come to this with the same sort of lightning rod effect Gates had politically. He's a Democrat, not a Republican, so he can't easily talk to both parties with the same sort of credentials Gates did. But he is not seen as partisan. He is seen as someone who knows how to work with both parties. And he also has credibility in management. And when that comes to the budget crisis and how defense needs to be funded in future years, that gives him credibility many others wouldn't have.
And if you look at the Pentagon, in many ways it's probably like the CIA in the sense that it's a complex organization, and you may not always be aware of where the knives are going to come from. So would you say that the CIA experience, even for someone as experienced as Panetta, is going to be very helpful as he gets to the Pentagon?
Well, his whole background, OMB and all the rest, in fact, perhaps OMB may be more critical in this period where money is so absolutely essential. I don't think it's also a matter of the knives. The fact is that Secretary Gates accomplished a great deal. What he didn't do, because he focused on the Iraq and Afghan wars, was put the Defense Department on a stable path for the future. None of the services have a force plan that is easily affordable, even if spending remains at its current level. All of them have massive procurement problems, and that became clear just a few weeks ago when, yet again, almost all of the major programs had massive cost escalation. He's got to restructure manpower. The size and nature of the active force and the reserves and the balance between them. He has to reshape U.S. deployments. It isn't just a matter of dealing with the Afghan conflict. We are withdrawing from Iraq, but we have to reshape a posture in the Persian Gulf at a time when the entire region is in turmoil. And it isn't just in the Gulf itself, it's countries like Egypt. You have China expanding its military capabilities, and with them its strategic reach. And when you look across the world in those terms, you begin to see just how demanding a job this is going to be, and that you can't separate it out between wars, policy, money, procurement, or force structure.
We are talking with Anthony Cordesman, the Arleigh Burke Chair in Strategy at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. So, looking forward, what is it that the rank and file can expect with their new bosses at the Pentagon and CIA?
Well, in the short term, they're not probably going to see dramatic changes. Neither of these men is sufficiently unfamiliar with the structure to go out, as some people have in the past, and try to do something radical, regardless of whether it can work. But what they are going to have to face is major uncertainty over the future of the Iraq war, a realignment that's already taking place of assignments away from Iraq, a new focus on the Middle East and the Gulf as a whole. There, I think, will be a return to a real focus on programs and money. You simply don't have procurement problems in defense. There are major problems in key satellite programs, computer programs, and software programs in the intelligence community as well. So I think what people are going to see is the need to keep adapting, but adapt under managers who know how to make each of these areas of government work, and who will be able to at least explain and work with the Congress in a climate where, let's be honest, between now and probably calendar 2013, we're not going to resolve any of the major debates over the future of the federal budget, mandatory programs, and discretionary spending. And what everyone in government can look forward to is, to be blunt, a partisan, highly political mess.
That's. I'm glad you're so optimistic about it. But I wanted to ask you also.
Let me ask you, Tom, is there any prospect in your mind this isn't going to happen?
Not whatsoever. I mean, we've been following these this whole debate in some detail, and it is just winding up, really. And I wanted to ask you about the human element here, too, based on your experience as Director of Intelligence Assessment in the Office of the Secretary of Defense, and you were also the civilian assistant to the Deputy Secretary of Defense. When someone walks into a CIA or to a Defense Department, and the senior leadership already there is looking, what do they have to do very early on to establish not only authority, but also rapport with the people that they're going to have to convince of the changes ahead?
I think the most important formula is don't bring in a whole new team of inexperienced people who come with either a chip on their shoulder or a strong ideological position. Work with the team that's already there. Show the people that you are going to have to work with that you respect them and trust them. If you're going to make changes, make them slowly, discuss them, explain them. Don't suddenly dictate or issue a blizzard of various conflicting instructions. Show that you respect the people involved. Show that you are willing to look out for their careers, their salaries, their security. These are all very basic management tools. They don't stop you from making changes or reforms, but in government, as virtually everywhere else, if you walk in like some figure out of a teenage horror film and everybody expects you to unleash a chainsaw, the results are not going to be pleasant for you and for anyone who works for you.
In other words, don't come in as Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, that would be one of many examples.
Anthony Cordesman is the Arleigh Burke Chair in Strategy at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. We thank you very much for joining us with that insight.
A pleasure.
And you can hear this interview again. Find links to more information at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
It's 7:51.